I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. In the new movie Source Code, Michelle Monaghan plays a woman on a train that only has 8 minutes to live before it explodes. I'd tell you more, but then I'd ruin the movie. I can tell you that she has a difficult task of recreating that same 8 minute scene over and over again. Each scene had to be the same, but different. Imagine how hard that would be. Well, she does a fantastic job, and when you see the film, you'll definitely agree with me. I talked to Michelle in a roundtable interview at South by Southwest about the challenges of doing the same scene over and over, if she did any research into the source code, and what's it like to get your face melted off. And just an observation, Michelle has some guns on her. Seriously, there's no doubt in my mind that she could kick my butt without even breaking a sweat. This site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Michelle.
Can you talk a little bit about what it was with this script that really sort of attracted you to the project?
Yeah, I think initially I was just really struck at kind of what an original idea was. And from an actor's point of view, for the role of Christina, I thought it was just going to be a really cool exercise in performance. And a real challenge, and it felt really daunting to me initially, and then I got really, really intrigued, and I especially became more intrigued after I spoke to Duncan. We Skyped, and for me it became very, very apparent that it was, you know, he wanted it to be character-driven, you know, more than anything. And I haven't really kind of ventured into sci-fi as far as a genre. Done a lot of other things, but sci-fi was not one of them. And so I really thought, wow, why not go on this endeavor with somebody as cool and young and energetic as Duncan Jones? And he's great at telling a story. So I thought, if anybody can do it, I don't necessarily think it could work in anybody's hands. And it was difficult material, you know, for all of the actors, I think. And it was really fun. It was a really fun experience, and it felt like we were making a student film a lot of the times, because we were just sitting in this commuter train, that one car, and we would like spin, we'd huddle and like work it out, each source code, and it was really fun. It was really cool.
You basically had to do the same scene, mm-hmm. like 12 different times or something like that. What kind of challenge did that?
Well, that was the challenge. The first source code was the most challenging source code, and I think fortunately we got to shoot them chronologically. So that was a luxury that, you know, you don't usually have in any film. So that was cool, but the first one was really, really important because everything was going to be set in stone from that point on. So working out the choreography for that for all of the actors on the train was really long and hard. And also Jake's and my character, Sean Fentress, and I are really disconnected at that point. So from a performance standpoint, that wasn't something that I had sort of ever come across, where you're actually not supposed to connect with the actor. We're both in two different realities, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, of course. And so everything that I was saying, he was just... So it was made the acting sort of thing really difficult, but we worked that out by doing something kind of clever. But that was hard. But then it was just a matter of Duncan and I, like during the rehearsal process, I sort of came up with an idea of how I wanted each source code to be tonally, you know, and like just out of example, like the first source code, I really wanted her to be a bit mysterious, almost more like Hitchcock. So there was a certain posture, there's a certain voice, there's a certain direct, like sort of eye contact that was sort of unwavering. And then everything started to kind of loosen up as they started to connect a little bit more. But they each had their going into it, and Duncan and I were always talking about it, so to make sure that we were always on the same page, and so that there would be an arc by the end of it. But it was, yeah.
But it's amazing at the beginning of each source code, you still manage to have the same smile and deliver the same line the same way. And it's, I mean, was that difficult for you? Did you have like a mirror that you would like look into and be like,
no,
okay, this way?
No, because you know, for continuity, like, I mean, there was always the like, I had like, yes, my leg was here. Yes, I took that. I mean, that's why the choreography, the technical stuff was really sort of challenging. And if you go back, there are like little different variations of Like, I took your advice. It was very good advice. And then there's another, like, I don't want to be, like, doing line reads, but it was, like, it was good advice, and then I left out very, or it was, like, it was very, very good. Or, you know, there's just, like, little sort of different things that would help, because that was the one line that kind of then made the whole rest of it come together. So there's, like, always trying just something subtle. That was the thing, the challenge of doing something subtle and nuanced, but not too much that it kind of threw the audience.
Yeah.
So, cool. Thank you.
You need it. Control.
Thank you.
Did you do any research into the science behind?
Hell no.
No?
Hell no. I took POD and I took source code. I separated them. And I thought, that's their business. They can work out all of that on their own. You know what? It was so... It was like I couldn't... I understood it, but I couldn't go into that because I was really just sort of overwhelmed with the same thing. Yeah. And I was thinking, how can I just make... these same 6 pages, essentially. How can I make them into like 40 pages? So that was sort of I didn't worry myself with that, and I'm sure Vera probably did the same thing, you know, separated her stuff, and it was challenging for everyone. Vera, I'm so impressed with Jake as well, but Vera in particular. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do to act with a camera. Yeah, it's really tricky. Testament to her, you know, her talent. Totally.
Have you been to South by Southwest before?
No, and this is awesome. It's so funny. I meant to come. My friends, my husband's been down here, and I meant to come down here this trip as like a fan, and then the movie came down here. So now I'm not. I mean, I'm down here as a fan, but I don't have time to see anything, unfortunately. So now next year I'll be down here as a fan.
But
so,
as a filmmaker, how's the vibe for
you? Oh, my God. It's amazing. I've been to a few film festivals, and this has got so much energy, and it's really young, and we just did a Q&A, and I was so impressed. I was so excited because there was an editor there asking a question. There was a composer. There was a writer, you know, an actor. I mean, and it was just such a real, like, everybody was sort of in their own sort of creative field, and everybody's here really representing film is a real, everyone's real appreciative of it, and they're real film goers, you know, it's not real critic heavy, I don't think, I don't know, maybe they're hiding out there somewhere, but it just feels like, it's just a really nice supportive environment, it's a really nice festival, so.
As an actress, do you get to watch a lot of movies, like, just for fun? Is that, like, a way you unwind, or do you do other things?
Yeah, I like, you know what, honestly, I really like documentaries a lot. I'm a really big fan of documentaries, so it's a really big toss-up when I go to the movies, because, first of all, I have a kid, so we don't go to the movies that much anymore, but it's usually like, oh, this movie or a documentary, and probably 7 out of 10 times a documentary wins.
What have you seen recently that you liked?
Well, Inside Man, I loved. As far as a documentary, yeah, Inside Man, I loved. And as far as a film, my favorite film of last year was the Aussie film. Sorry, Animal Kingdom. Love that movie. Love, want to work with that director so badly. Yeah.
So now that you've done science fiction, are you getting a lot more science fiction scripts? Are you open to doing more science fiction movies?
Yeah, I'd be open to doing it. Definitely. I don't think I've received any. Oh, I did. I just did receive one. I haven't read it yet. But I haven't read it, but I'm excited to read it. And it's very sci-fi. It's kind of like a sci-fi love story. So, I haven't done that before, have I? But we'll see. But, yeah, I'm always open to... I really just always want to do stuff that's kind of new and interesting and challenging. And it just depends on the material. If it's a drama, if it's a little indie, it's studio, if it's comedy, action, any of that stuff. I'm down for it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm asking a question. One thing, they were talking earlier about humor and infusing humor into the script and balancing the character. How was it on, because you're part of the people that kind of kept doing it over and over, how was it on set to keep it from, to keep it fresh, keep it funny, but keep it from going groundhog
day? Do you know
day?
What it was? It was so important, because I think this is a movie that Duncan was really smart. It's like a film that knows that it's a movie, so it doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, I think there's, in one of... the improvisation became easier as the source codes moved on, because we were able to free ourselves up from the story once everybody kind of started, the puzzles pieces started to come together. So I think there was one day, it was the end of the source code, and there's the scene in the movie where Jake's like, do you want to go get a coffee? And it's like, I think there's the two shot, the profile shot or whatever. And we were just like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. Like, get her a coffee already. I mean, it's like, it's the same thing. And we were like, the audience is going to buy this. This is so ridiculous. And then he's always like, I'll be right back, you know? And we're just like, that poor girl, so like that long suffering, like, girl, you know? And he had said, I'll be right back. I got to go save the world. And it was just like, and he improv that. And I was like, oh, I knew he was a keeper. Like, and so we improv that, right? And then we cut. And everybody's like, oh, that was so funny. That's great. And so the crew, everybody kind of got the joke, right? And that was like, oh, okay, let's do it again and kind of go back. But those are those sorts of things. But that actually worked. And so last night, you know, people laughed at that. Was it last night? Yeah, it was last night. Sorry. And people laughed at that. And I was like, oh, my God, they got our joke. So it felt really good because they got the moments of levity, and that we knew that by that time people would be clued into the fact that, so that the instincts were right. Right. So that's really, like, encouraging when you have that. And so Duncan had those instincts always from the very beginning. And so did Jake. Like, they're very subtle things, like, where, you know, he... just the way he moved, or the delivery, like, he's a very smart actor, you know. So I think I answered your question, but maybe not.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you familiarize yourself with Duncan's work, Big Moon?
Oh, yeah. That was a movie that I saw, I think, quite right when it came out, and I was just blown away. Yeah. Really blown away, and just Sam Rockwell, holy cow. I mean, he's just amazing. He's just amazing in everything. He's a phenomenal actor. And so I was really excited. That was definitely, you know, one of the ingredients that drew me to this role, for sure.
Did he meet your expectations, or did he...
Oh, totally.
Surprise you?
Totally. He surprised me in the sense that he was such a great collaborator. And I say that in the sense that, like, he had the technical aspect down, like, he had the vision. He's, like, definitely got a vision for it. But for me, I mean, you can tell me something's going to explode, and you look at the green screen, you do that, and it's like, okay, and then there's that big explosion. You're like, oh, you know, I'm like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Okay, go do that in a room, you know? So I was like, he was really right off the bat, really clear how invested he was in, like, the characters, and that if you don't believe that there, you want her to be saved, and, you know, in his turmoil, and, you know, in, like, Vera's sort of ethical, like, dilemma, you know, if you don't believe in that, then none of it works. Doesn't matter how cool the special effects are. So he made that really evident from the very, very, very beginning, and he was true and blue, and it was fun. He was always open. You know, it's nice when a director lets you improv and, you know, really supports your kind of creative instincts and things like that.
Well, speaking of special effects, how did it feel to see your face basically get melted off?
No, but that I almost swore. That really happened. You know when you see that scene where I'm like, the thing? That really happened because they put a wind thing on me. They put a wind thing, this thing where it's like, it's really fat, and it makes your, and it shoots thing, and you're like this, and it was the last night of filming, and they brought in the special effects to do that, and they were like, you don't want to do that, do you? And I was like, of course I want to do that. That's awesome. So they did it, and we probably did it four or five different times, and they did it, and, like, it's like, I forget, like, how slow they played it back. It was seriously the ugliest thing. It was like, everybody's like, oh my God. Because it was like, my lip was like over my nose. My gum was like that. And then they paused and I was like, holy shit, I need braces. I had no idea. It was just the craziest thing. So I kind of was like, I must have been red for like 2 hours. But it was a really fun effect to do. I was like, glad they asked me to do it. But then when I saw it in the movie, I was like, wait a second, I didn't think they were actually going to use it. Like, I thought they were going to, like, fix my lips, you know? But I was cool that they left it like that, but it was neat because that's really how we shot it. It was really cool. It was really, really cool. Oh, God. That was funny.
So what's up next for you now?
I've got a film coming out in the fall, which I'm really excited about, a drama based on a true story. Mark Forster directed it, and it's starring myself, Michael Shannon, and Gerard Butler, and it's amazing. So excited. And then I'm going... Machine Gun Preacher. Yeah. It's great. I just saw it a couple weeks ago. I'm really excited about it. And then I'm going to shoot a little indie with Jeremy Renner in the fall called called Better Living Through Chemistry, which is a really small, little, cool, awesome indie.
Yeah, Jeremy's awesome.
Jeremy is awesome.
What's your advice to actors?
Perseverance, man. Like, from the beginning to someone at my success, or lack thereof, whatever it is, you know, I'm such a firm believer in that. You know, you have good days, you have bad days, and just let it roll right off your back. Like, you can't let anything, so you can't dwell. I don't dwell. I just, like, you know, if maybe people were booing last night, I might not be over it yet today. but tomorrow I'd be on the plane back to my daughter and my husband, and then I'd be okay. But just perseverance. I think that's the most in any field, you know, but especially in any creative field.
Thanks, Michelle, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.